And we're back, ladies and
We are
gentlemen.
back.
Well, guys, I know it's been a really long time, but we are back.
Yes,
Yeah, there you go.
okay.
That
Love
shows you how.
how we've been a little MIA too long. I don't know when to chime in anymore.
Oh,
Okay, we are
God.
back, ladies and
Yes.
gentlemen.
Yeah,
Here
so
we go.
today we have a guest, a lovely friend of mine that I met through a good friend. Julie is a social worker at a local hospital, and we would like to welcome her for today's topic called burnout. So, Julie, welcome to All In on Everything.
Hello, hello.
Well, let's start with we have a question. Well, I have a question for you guys. Have you ever heard of the Sunday Scaries? Melissa, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I have the Sunday scaries, the Monday, the Tuesdays, the Wednesdays.
How about you, Julie? Have you ever heard of the Sunday Scaries?
So I haven't heard of the Sunday scaries, but I do get the Monday blues all the time.
Oh,
Ooh, Sunday's
okay.
different.
Well, for the listeners that don't know what the Sunday Scaries, is or whatever, can you believe that some people actually suffer from this? It's the anxiety you get before beginning work. So imagine thinking about a place you spend most of your days at. And it causes you stress. Yeah. So, in the United States specifically, it is reported that 50% of American workers feel stressed at work on a daily basis. 41% as being worried that they even have a job. And then there's 22% that feel sad and 18% that are just angry. So, technically speaking, the majority of American workers are stressed and hating their life right now.
I mean, seems legit, right? So I mean, yeah, I've heard I made that joke, but I think we all feel that. I mean, at least I do. Sunday comes and it's like the weekend in general. Friday, I'm too tired from the week to even want to do anything. And then Saturday is when I'll try to do stuff and have a social life. And then Sunday is when you got to do your errands and wash your clothes and get ready for the week. And it's like, it's gone.
Yeah.
The weekend is gone.
And it's very understandable to want to accomplish, your goals at work, but sometimes it can be overwhelming, right? Like sometimes hustling to achieve our goals and being overworked go hand in hand. So, Julie, we want to ask you, basically, as a healthcare worker, a social worker at that, at a hospital at that, post-pandemic, we've seen all the chaos in the workforce. Talk us through a typical workday for you.
Right, so I have been a hospital social worker for about almost 10 years. So I got pre-COVID, mid-COVID, and
Oof.
post-COVID. So
Okay.
it's been an interesting ride. Currently now, a day with me would look more like I come in, I check our census. The census is the list of patients. So I cover a few units. So we have a transplant unit, we have an ICU unit, a cardio ICU unit. So our patients are a little bit scattered apart. So you just kind of have to prioritize. So for the most part, I kind of wing it during the day, what patients need to be seen, if there's a family meeting. We have meetings throughout the day, sometimes at 11, sometimes at 1, sometimes at 12, sometimes at 8, just depends on the day. Hospital is very fast paced. It is a jungle, and if you're not someone that is confident in their work, you will not thrive because it gets very you have to know how to advocate not only for your patient, but definitely for yourself.
I was definitely gonna say.
This topic is a little hard for me because I don't know how to balance, I think, in a healthy way. Sometimes I also work in a hospital setting. more on the administrative side. So, you know, we've seen a lot of what's happened in the workforce after the pandemic, and, you know, the staffing is like at an all-time low, and you have one person doing the job of multiple people, and it's become very, very stressful, right? But I don't even think, not only in healthcare, but you see everywhere right now is like everywhere. Short-staffed, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just a big thing going on. But it's hard for me to, like, I'm a workaholic, you know, right. Like, and I'm a perfectionist and I want everything done right. And I, there's times where I just can't disconnect.
Right. And that's a lot of people, you know, you, a lot of people can relate to you because one, they want to do the right thing. They want to do the job correctly, but then they don't want to look like they can't, you know, like they're not capable, like they're not, mm-hmm. They're not up for the task or whatever it is that did it, you know, you don't want to seem like you can't handle it basically.
Right. Like I try to just tough it out.
Yeah. But then it gets to you.
I got this. And it's like, I sometimes I'm like, I reach my wit's end by the end of the day. I'm like so exhausted. Mm-hmm. That's like, I don't have the energy to do anything else after that. Like, Julie, do you feel like you have a healthy work-life balance?
So I'll be honest, I don't feel like I do. I think I'm learning right now how to balance work and personal together. My job is a little more, I feel like my job has to be a little more invested than the average. My patient demographic, I actually follow my patients until they pass away. So for me, you develop these relationships and you develop these bonds with these patients long term. At my current job, I've been there a year, and most of my patients, I've known them for about a year already.
Yeah.
So for me, I have to know my patients on a much deeper level. So it is hard to balance because the demographic that I have, it's very like low income, immigrants. It's very hard to be able to get them the resources that they need. Mm-hmm. So that's frustrating in itself. So then, you know, I'm a daughter of immigrants. So sometimes, you know, that balance kind of clashes because you want to do something for your patient, but then you're like, okay, there is a line to where you have to draw it. And that line is very hard, I think, especially as a social worker, because we have to go into depth with the patients, like their family, their history, and you develop these bonds with them. So sometimes it's very hard to kind of find that balance between where it's work and where it's starting to get personal for you.
Mm. Yeah, like, so you feel like sometimes you take home some of that with you.
So sometimes you do, and especially working in healthcare, I'm not going to lie, I've had experiences with doctors where you're just like, I wouldn't let you touch me with a 10-foot pole. You know, shout out to all the nurses because you guys really do run the show. But luckily with this team, the doctors are very invested. And then, you know, it kind of hurts sometimes when you see them cry or you see them frustrated with the system because you're like, you're a doctor, and if you can't get this done, like, how am I supposed to do this? So it's hard to balance, like, trying to stay professional, trying to separate what you need to do as a social worker, what it's expected of your job, and then what you should do just as a person.
Wow.
So it's a very tricky line that I feel that social workers walk sometimes. And I think even just people, like, between the demands of your job and what you really think you should do or what you feel is right.
I mean, wow. Shout out to you, because that's pretty deep.
It takes a lot of emotional maturity to handle a job like that too.
Absolutely.
To be able to separate the two, you know.
Yeah, and it's a tough field. You know, not only do you have your own shit, I'm sure, you know, we all do. But then you got to go and you got to support and help and just try to battle everyone else's at the hospital that's your patient. I mean, look, we have three different scenarios here, right? We have you who work as a social worker and you need to have a social life, you know? You have to go out and do what you got to do. Melissa, you know, she works and she has her kids and she needs a social life too. I have my kids and I go to school. I'm gonna start work, which is I am not ready for, because it's been a minute. And but I miss it. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of miss, you know, that whole work life. Come back to me in a month. Come back to me in a month and let me know. Actually, how I feel about that. But you know, I did want to go back. You know, whatever. So I don't know how I'm gonna do with school, work, kids, and everything else that I have going on. But what do you do to unwind? Like, what do you do, to unwind after a long day?
So I've learned, because I'm a social worker, I mean, I think it happens to most of us in any type of job that we have. You try to kind of find friends that would understand, like, what your job is. Because you spend the majority of time there. And it's kind of hard to explain to somebody from the outside, like, hey, this is what I do. And they're like, okay, sounds cool. So at least for me, most of my friends, the majority, are either in healthcare or are social workers. So, okay, you know, after work, we kind of, you know, wind down, we kind of vent about issues, and we kind of pick up on each other, like, hey, look, I had this. And then they'll tell you, like, oh, look, try this. You kind of, you know, bounce ideas off each other. Try to find, like, some balance. And if sometimes you want someone, sometimes it's nice to have someone validate you and say, look, you're not crazy for feeling like this at work. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like our job gets the best of us. And sometimes we feel kind of crazy. Like, am I overreacting? Am I putting too much time into this? Like, am I crazy? And sometimes when someone has walked that kind of similar path as you, it feels nice when they're like, no, I would have probably done the same thing, or I'll try this. So something like that. There is a lot of drinking, I won't lie.
I was waiting. I'm like, okay, no,
grab a few more drinks. Yeah.
There is a lot of happy hours. Not all the time, not every day, but, you know, once a week.
I feel like that's, I mean, obviously, you know, in a healthy amount, not like,
Melissa, not like, you know. Talk to us about how do you unwind?
Sorrows away. Guys, I'm telling you, I am probably the worst person right now to have this conversation with. I'm going to, but you know what? This is the
How's your mornings? How do you start your mornings?
So this is, okay. So I'm going to be very honest. With this new job, it's been a little hard. So I've actually, you know, I've talked to my therapist and that kind of stuff. So I have tried to implement healthier behaviors, because I feel like the older I get, the more I need to hold myself accountable for how I react to situations, over, you know, just how I feel about it, about myself or the situation in general, because I think we have so much power on our emotions sometimes that we don't realize it. So in the morning for me, I'm not a morning person, so I struggle a little bit, but I usually do. I'll take a shower and I'll have affirmations going on. I think I listen to, I don't know, like powerful women stuff. And, you know, they make you repeat it like 5 times. So I'll be in the shower and I'll be repeating, you know, I'll have breakfast. I try to have breakfast. I think it's important. And I'm very grumpy in the morning. So breakfast. But when I get in my car, you know, we selling drugs and we throwing up. Like, I need to be as ratchet as I can in my car. So when I get to my job, I am as professional. So music for me is important. I feel like music speaks a lot to me sometimes. Like, the words that I can't put on my emotions, music just does it for me. And I actually, when I'm at work, I try to have music.
Yeah.
Like, my coworkers are always like, something's wrong with her if she's not playing music.
Right. Well, that's good that you're able to. Melissa, how about you? How do you start your mornings, Melissa?
Usually my mornings start with why am I doing this? So I could probably learn a thing or two from you and your positive affirmations and all of that. And it also depends on, you know, I have different sets of mornings, if that makes sense. So, you know, I have my kids, and, you know, me and my ex have joint custody. So
on the days that I have kids, then I'm up earlier and I'm, you know, come on, let's go. And everybody get ready. And it's kind of, I'm kind of already starting my day stressed out in that sense. And then I have the opportunity on the days that I don't to kind of get up a little more calm, take my shower, get ready.
Have breakfast.
sometimes I'll stop at Dunkin'. That's kind of how I start every morning. I have to have my like frozen coffee drinks and stuff. But I know that I could do better in like things like that. That's why I'll be the first to say, like I just said earlier, that, you know, when we always say we're not professionals, and I can sit on this topic right now and say I can't give any advice because I need help.
Right. And that is, and you know what? That's great that you bring that up, because we need to understand, right, when it's time to ask for help. And that, you know, that's overall work, home, family, whatever. Specifically, we're talking about work and how everything else in life gets caught up. So, Julie, what would you do in a case where you feel like you need help? What do you go to your boss? You talk to your manager, your superior? Like, what do you do? Do you think it's a good thing to approach them and just tell them, listen, I'm overwhelmed. Do you say I need a day off? Like, what do you do?
So do you want to know like work or when everything is falling apart?
Well, yeah, both. You know, both. Yeah. Cause you know, that's how life is.
So I've noticed, I don't know if it happens to you guys, but I've noticed like when my job starts to get a little stressful, my personal starts to get a little stressful. Bills pile up, or, you know, something with a family member happens. It's kind of like a trickle effect.
When it rains, it pours,
and it pours. So it hasn't always been easy. But I think in this season of my life, I'm trying to be better for myself, because if I don't take care of me, I can't take care of people around me. Mm-hmm. I can't take care of my family. I can't take care of my patients, because they depend on me being in a good space to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
You know? So for me, I've gotten better to have my social support. And I do have a few people that I can be like, I am not okay at this moment. And they know how to talk to me. I've kind of learned to, at my job, I'm like, listen, I can't. I'm run dry. I can't do this. I need some time. And I literally like 2-3 weeks ago, I took some time off because I just couldn't. It was too much. It was too overwhelming. I felt like other aspects of my life were starting to feel overwhelming, and I just needed a timeout.
Okay.
And that's important.
Won't lie to you, that's something that I do now in this moment. But in the past, I would just swallow it by myself. Like, I wouldn't tell anyone. I would just, you could call me and tell me your world was falling apart, and somehow I would find a way to be there for you while I was slowly falling apart.
Oof. Girl, and you know something, that we spoke about that, but that's such a common thing. So many people forget to put themselves first. So many people forget that, like Julie just said, you can't help others if you're not helping yourself. And that's just, you know, it's so important to focus on yourself and your mental health, because if you're not good, girl, I don't know. I don't think we'll make it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that like hits for me, because I've always been open about that in our podcast, about how I have always been that person to take on others' burdens and try to be there for everybody and not open up when it's, you know, my turn. So I definitely feel that. And I think with me, what the hard part is, you know, with work and being a mom and going through divorce and
you're doing great. Woo. You're doing great. Just know that.
I dove into work because that was the one, you know, like thing that was my distraction. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, you know, I can do this. Like, yeah. This is one thing that's going right. So it was kind of my
escape
from everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
you guys, you got to understand, this is someone who's a workaholic. She gets shit done. You know what I'm saying? This girl here, she makes sure her kids are good. She makes sure her staff is good. You ask about Melissa anywhere and nothing but positive things come from, you know? And I know that, you know, it's a lot for her. But I also know that she's learning how to ask for help.
Yeah. So, I mean, with all that, you know, I did start therapy, my therapy stuff, and you know, I'm very open about that. So I am a work in progress. So I always say that too. You know, I love to help those where I can. Anything I learn from my own therapy and my experiences, you know, I try to share with people. But you know, this area of my life is like, I know I still struggle with because it's also new for me, right? Is, you know, working and now I come home to just me having to handle everything as opposed to what it was before where you had a partner that's like, all right, well, I'm going to, you know, work a little late tonight. Can you just handle this? Or
right,
you know,
pick them up. Of, yeah.
Yeah. You kind of have that balance there where now it's an adjustment for me to learn how to balance everything. And also with being alone now and paying rent and doing those things, it's even more of a driver for me to like, okay, work, because I can't afford
to
slip up or lose my job or anything. So it's like, a lot of it is mental too, of like just those fears, those anxieties of like, I can't lose this because I have little ones depending on me. I have my, you know, myself, I have to take care of that, you know, and I want to be able to take my kids
absolutely
to do things and take trips and go to Disney World or whatever. So it's like, I need to work. So me, it's like, I have to do this, but I know that I could ask for more help at work. And I do have a very strong support system at my job. Like I work for executives that actually care, that actually notice when things are not right. When I have my CFO at my job, she's a woman who, you know, she's like a mentor to me. She's, you know, so I think it's good to have women leadership in leadership positions that could help in those areas, because, you know, as a woman, especially understanding motherhood and trying to be a career woman and everything. So this topic actually came about because of our CFO, my CFO, who noticed that I was working really, really, really hard.
Yeah,
was stressed
out. Working yourself out, yeah.
And I came to work one day and I went into my office and there was a book left on my desk called Burnout, The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle. And she left it on my desk with chocolates and things like that. So that's, again, how this all came up is that, you know, it's also good to have strong, and I'm speaking from a place of a woman. I know men have their, you know, their struggles that they go through too, but just personally as a woman, like, and being a mom and working and all of that, it's just, it feels good to know that I have other people in my corner that understand that same struggle and are there.
Well, Melissa, you know, once again, I want to tell you, I know that you got a little emotional, but, you know, that's how you know we're transparent. You know, that's how you know it's just real. Like we were telling Julie yesterday, even if it's one person we touch, that's enough. You know, how many people out there are going through what Melissa's going through or what Julie's going through? You know what I mean? I don't even put myself out there because, like I said, I work wise, I'm not there yet.
You
know,
you could get burnt out from just being a mom. Yes. You know,
yeah, like being a mom and school, it does. It takes a toll. But imagine all of that plus more. You know what I mean? Like, right. I just shout out to you guys for all that. But Julie, for example, I mean, do you think that sometimes letting people help you is a good idea? Do you think that standing up for what you want is a good idea? Like, I know someone specifically not so long ago told me that his coworker needs a knee replacement, right? He messed up his knee, blah, blah, blah. He's going to be out for a few. And there's only three of them. Okay. So the guy's going to be out. He's going to be out for a few months. My friend, the guy that told me, he said that he already had his vacation plan. So his boss came up to him, was like, in little words, I need you to not to go on this vacation. And he was like, I'm not doing that. I work my ass off in this company. I paid for my vacation and I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. You got to figure that out. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that, you know, you probably won't have anyone to work, but that's your problem because you should have hired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's people right now, they don't want to hire. It's financial crisis, mm-hmm. you know, but that means you're working these workers to the bone mm-hmm. and it's not fair. Do you think that, like I asked, do you think that you're taking too much on your plate? Do you let people help you? Are you that type of person? Be like, okay, hey, I need help. Are you that type of person?
So I am not that type of person because I hate giving instructions because then I'm like, I might as well just do it myself. but I won't lie, where I'm at now in my professional life with my job, I do have a good partner that will be like, listen, let me help you. Mm-hmm. So she knows, she'll notice like little things that I'll do and she'll be like, let me help you. I got you. Even the team, like people that aren't social workers will be like, do you need something? What do you need from us? Like, we can help you. So right now I'm in a good space, at least work-wise, that people do offer to help. So I'm okay in that. But do I like to ask for help? No. And I'm learning how to delegate.
I see. And like you and Melissa, you guys are like exactly the same when it comes to that.
No, I know. And that's something that, and it's not even that people don't offer. Like, I have people that, like, they see me stressed and, like, you know, if there's anything I can do, you know, let me know if there's anything you need me to do. And again, going back to, like, it also does help when you have a support system at work and you have people that care about you and that value you, you know, that also makes a difference. Because I see people that are miserable at work and they don't feel like anybody cares, you know? Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine how that feels. And I'm grateful that I don't know how that feels, right. But I have like even, you know, executives in higher positions than me that'll say, is there anything I can do to help you? You know, things like that are important. So, and then I take that and, you know, I manage a team too. So I take that and then I incorporate that in my leadership too. Like, you know, make sure that you value who you have and you make sure that it's known, like, I appreciate you. I think that goes a long way to where, yes, I'm burnt out sometimes, but at the same time, I love what I do.
Correct.
You know, so, and you have people that are burnt out and they can't say that. Mm-hmm. So that's what then leads to quitting the jobs and people, you know, a lot of turnover in places because they don't feel, you know, that they are respected. But I think another thing to go back to what you said a little while ago, Meech, when you were like, oh, I can't really put myself in that equation. Something that we actually talked about yesterday too, was that you should not invalidate how someone feels because you think, oh, I have it worse. Or like, this shouldn't be this comparison of whose life is harder or who's more tired. Like, if do you ever go to work and you're like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I had to do this, this, this. And then the next person's like, oh my God, well, I had to do this, this. And it's like a competition of who the hell is more tired. I'm like, why is this a thing? Why can't my day, you know, just be, it's stressful to me.
To
like
you.
We all handle stress differently. Maybe you can get up at 5 a.m. and run a marathon and you're fine or whatever. And I can't, you know, it's different for everybody. Jeez. So I think in that sense, I think I will give a bit of advice to just not undermine somebody else's feelings of mm-hmm. their stress or what they're going through. Because everybody's different.
Yeah. It's like, for example, like when we have kids and someone else doesn't have kids, who are we to say, oh, please, you don't even have kids. You don't know how it is to
right.
work. And then, no, you know what I mean? Like, no, it's you don't know what that person got to go through.
Well, let me chime in.
please do.
So it's funny because I always think, you know, I don't know about men, but I feel like as women, we always have these little roles. You know, we're mothers, we're daughters, we're sisters, we're friends, we're, you know, coworkers, we're bosses. You know, we're in relationships, we're wives, we're girls. Like, I feel like we always have these little titles and we're always trying to like be everything to everybody. Mm. And yeah. Sometimes that's hard because it's like, at what point are you just Melissa, are you just Meech or are you just Julie? Like, at what point do you just do something for yourself?
Exactly.
And great, I think, girl. Like, at least for me, you know, I'm in my 30s. I'm single with no kids. That alone is a whole different ballgame in a very Latin family, you know?
Of course. Like, you have the pressure.
You haven't been married. You haven't bought a boyfriend. You don't have kids. Everyone around you has kids. Everyone around you is married. And that in itself is hard to navigate, because as much as I could sit here and be like, I don't care, my time will come, there is always a little piece in the bottom that is like, I really want that. And when is it going to be my time? And there are times where you are feeling happy for people. And it's not that you're not happy for them. It's just kind of like that little bitterness in you. Like, when is it my time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't think we talk about that a lot. And to kind of piggy off what you said, Mitch, you said that me and Melissa are very similar, like workaholics. At least for me, my job is the one place where I have the control. It's the one place where I feel the most confident.
Yep.
About what I bring to the table. It's the one place where I'm like, nah, I got this. You can do it.
Yeah. And that's to what I was saying earlier, like, especially when I felt like my personal life was crumbling, you know, that was the one place where I felt, you know, like I said, valued. I felt like I was worth something. I felt like, you know, I can't nobody tell me shit about this. Like, I got this, like you said, like that I felt empowered, you know, like that was where, and that's kind of where the workaholic started. Cause it was like, that's just, okay, I got this, you know?
Yeah.
And that was it. But going back to what you were talking about too, about the different roles of a woman, you know, like the book that was left on my desk, like, I didn't even get to read this whole book yet, but like, it's directed towards women. So this whole burnout book is directed towards women. I mean, a little bit of the intro says, this is a book for any woman who has felt overwhelmed and exhausted by everything she had to do, and yet still worried she's not doing enough. So.
Yep. Yeah.
Just that intro like had me like, woo, because it's true. We are so hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
As women, you know, it's like, am I a good mom? Am I doing enough there? Like, do my kids feel fulfilled with me as a mom? Like, am I doing, even with work, you know, I'm confident as hell at work, but then also sometimes have my days like, damn, could I be doing more? You know, like, it's just that, can I be a better friend? Could I be better? You know, damn, did I call my mom this week?
Am I a good daughter? Am I a good sister? Am I a good friend?
We're so hard on ourselves. And then another part of this too that I highlighted was it says here, we all have an intuitive sense of what burnout is. We know how it feels in our bodies and how our emotions crumble in the grip of it. But when it was first coined as a technical term in 1975, burnout was defined by three components. One, emotional exhaustion, the fatigue that comes from caring too much for too long.
Wow.
Two, depersonalization, the depletion of empathy, caring, and compassion. And three, decreased sense of accomplishment, an unconquerable sense of futility, feeling that nothing you do makes any difference.
Wow. Look at that. Can you imagine that there's people that feel this way?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
And here's the understatement. Burnout is highly prevalent.
Look at that.
So this is something that you're hearing more and more. Mm-hmm. I am going to even give an example that at work today, the word was used when we were thinking about things to talk about during a town hall that we're going to do.
Okay. Right?
And my boss was like, oh, let's get someone from HR to talk about burnout and how we can help.
You should have been like, let me raise my hand.
But you get what I'm saying? That it's because it's so big right now, especially because of the workforce crisis that we have, where everybody's understaffed. There's so much turnover. People are quitting left and right. Like, there's people that like actually quit to be on unemployment instead of going to work because the stress is so bad that they rather just stay home and collect. So a lot of places are understaffed. Yeah. And then the hardworking people are struggling because we're doing double, triple the work.
Yes.
because it's like everywhere, not just healthcare. Everywhere you go, it's hard.
Yeah, like teachers. Let's
not go. They talked about teachers in that book too.
You know, these are people that are teaching our children. Mm-hmm. How is it that I've always thought about this? How is it that an NFL player who throws a football across the yard, across the field, get paid more than someone who's teaching your children mm-hmm. how to read, write, count, colors, and everything else? And
not only that, at this point in the world that we're in now, mm-hmm. these teachers are putting their lives at risk.
Thank you.
You see videos of kids that are just beating the shit out of their teachers now, getting disrespectful, like all yeah. the stuff that they have to endure. You know, and it's not to say that they even need millions of dollars, but damn, they need more than what the hell they're making.
Absolutely, you know? So man.
It's a lot. And I think overall, like what we need to get people to understand is that, you know, don't be so hard on other people either, or don't try to think that you can understand what somebody else is going through if you don't even have a clue, you right. know, like this is why we always go back to like, just be kind mm-hmm. to people because you have no idea what they're going through. You know, when they leave that job, you see people at work every day and you don't know what happens once they clock out, mm-hmm. what they're quote unquote clocking into after that, right?
You absolutely.
Because like, it's like, yeah, I'm clocking out of work right now, but guess what? I'm clocking into my mom job now. I got to get in my car. Mm. I have three kids that go to three different schools, high school, middle school, elementary school.
Oh my God.
So they're all over the place. So when I leave work, half the time I don't get home till an hour and a half after yeah. I've actually gotten off work. I'm in my car yeah. for like an hour and a half going driving. Everywhere, collecting, you know, the kids yeah. come home like, shit, let me figure out what to make for dinner or even pick up for dinner. Cause at that point mm-hmm. I'm burnt out and I don't have the energy to cook, you yeah. know, yeah. but I have to, let me order something. Let me pick right. something up.
Exactly.
Or, okay. You know, make sure you guys shower. Do you have homework? It's a lot.
Yeah.
So
now and yeah. And like for me, for example, like, then I got to think about, I have a test coming up. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, then the kids got fucking dressed like the 70s day. and then it's like, fuck, I got to go to Walmart and look yes. for fucking bell bottoms now.
Or a wig.
No, the whole week.
You're sitting in my house right now. I have a fucking box decorated for Mia with rubber duckies and cotton balls. And I have to like sit here and do things like this.
I just can't yeah. even understand. Sometimes I'm like, damn, teacher, why? Like, why do you put this stress on us? Because, you know, my son came home and he's like, mommy, this is what we have to do next week. I was already stressed the week before it because I'm like, he had to do 90s hip hop, and then it's like Hawaiian, dressed like your favorite hero, and the freaking 70s. And I'm just like, I could tell you right now, he only did two. And you know, he would wake up every day like, mommy, did you get me the 70s? I said, no, we're in 2023. They don't sell those things
oh
no more.
Oh my God.
It's all right. You. There's harder things in life. You'll
get them next time, yeah. kiddo.
Yes. All right. The life is disappointing. I'm just training you now.
Well, listen, we're not perfect, right?
So yeah, not only that, then is you know I have Milo, who she's 2 months old, and it's like, okay, I gotta wake up at 5 a.m. mm-hmm. after I feed her to try to study. And then get the kids dressed, then get drop them off.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. Don't undermine earlier. You were like, oh, I can't. Your shit yeah. is stressful too.
Yeah, yep. I got 2 dogs.
A new mom. There you go.
And 3 fucking dogs at that.
Being a new mom. That's a lot. On your body, on your mental health, on everything. Like, so the fact that you have a 2-month-old and you are even in school, yeah. like, I can't imagine myself doing that because I know when I had a 2-month-old, all I wanted to do was sleep. She slept. And, yeah. you know, like, so kudos to you. Like, you are able to, you know, just get up and keep moving and do what you have to do to better yourself.
Absolutely. That is
because
key.
At the end of the day, that's a decision.
Yeah.
to better you. So
yeah. Shout out to all three of us. How about that?
Let's give a clap.
Shout out. Listen, why don't we do a little, we got to go to happy hour. Can we just do happy hour one of these days?
I'm down.
We should just link up, talk about the podcast, how great it went, and forget about everything else. How about that?
Oh, shit, I forgot our drink.
Yeah, we were supposed to have a drink here, and it just went. You got a drink over there?
I had a drink at the other side of the counter, and I left it over there. I had some wine.
See? It's all right. We're burnt out. You see how burnt out we are?
We forgot.
But anyway, we want to thank you, Julie, for joining us on this very important topic. I hope that you enjoyed being on the show.
Loved it. Thank you. Guys are the bomb.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Reminder for everyone to, try to take it easy. Try to take you time. I will try to take my own advice. But it is important to just take moments, and it's okay to say no sometimes, and it's okay to just take a breather.
Yeah, so ask for help.
We can all practice that.
Yeah, ask for help. You guys got this. We got this. Just don't give up. Amen. That's it. Just don't give up. Wake up in the morning. Julie's affirmations. You know what I mean?
Yep, and then plug in that Meek Mill after. Trust me.
And turn up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. We are out of here.